In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, Amen. I'd like to welcome you all to our Perseverance Family Conversation, and as always, it's great to be with you. And we always start out our conversation by inviting Mary to be with us. Mary is truly the Mother of God. Mary is also the Mother of the Church. And Mary is the mother of each and every one of us. Then the Rosary, we pray the Hail Holy Queen. In this prayer we cry out to Mary as our life, our sweetness, and our hope. As our light, our sweetness, our life, our sweetness, and our hope. So as we enter into this new month, the month of July, let us invite Mary to be with us. July 16th, we actually celebrate Our Lady of Mount Carmel. That's the chief Marian feast day in the month of July. Our Lady of Mount Carmel and the scapular. So let's turn to Mary and ask Mary to accompany us, pray with us, pray for us. As we say, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Now we'd like to invite our spiritual director to accompany us. Our spiritual director is the Holy Spirit. Of course, the Holy Spirit is God Himself. He's the third person of the Blessed Trinity. The Holy Spirit is also known as the Paraclete. Holy Spirit is also known as the Gift of Gifts. Holy Spirit is also known as the sweet guest of the soul. Holy Spirit is also known as the counselor, as well as the consoler. Holy Spirit is also known as our interior master. And as St. Paul reminds us, we don't know how to pray as we ought. But good news, the Holy Spirit intercedes with ineffable groans, so we can say Abba. Abba, which means daddy or father. So let's invite the Holy Spirit to accompany us, to give us a lot of light, an interior fire of love to burn within our hearts. As we pray, come, Holy Spirit. Fill the hearts of your faithful, and enkindle within us the fire of your divine love. Send forth your Spirit, and they shall be created. Thou shalt renew the face of the earth. Let us pray. O God, who did instruct the hearts of your faithful by the light of the Holy Spirit, grant us that by the same Spirit we may be truly wise, and ever rejoice in his consolation, through the same Christ our Lord. Amen. Our Lady of Guadalupe, pray for us. Saint Joseph, pray for us. Saint Michael the Archangel, pray for us. Saint Gabriel, pray for us. Saint Raphael, pray for us. Saint Matthew, pray for us. Saint Junipero Serra, pray for us. Saint Ignatius of Loyola, pray for us. Saint Francis Xavier, pray for us. Saint Maria Faustina Kowalska, pray for us. Saint Teresa of Avila, pray for us. All God's angels and saints, pray for us. In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, amen. It's true, my friends, in our Perseverance family, that the family that prays together stays together. So we always start out our conversation by praying as a family. We pray to Mary, who's our mother. We pray the Holy Spirit, who's our spiritual guide. We pray to the angels and the saints. They are our companions and friends, helping us to follow God more fully so that we can get to heaven. And that's why we're here. So to encourage you all the more, I'll be praying for you in the greatest of all prayers. And that prayer would be the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass. That's right, that prayer would be the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass. Indeed, there's no greater prayer in the whole world than the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass. The Holy Sacrifice of the Mass is the greatest of all prayers. So, my friends, my first intention will be I'd like to place all of you on the altar, that all of us today would be very docile to the workings and the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Indeed, my friends, there is no greater prayer in the whole world than the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass. My second prayer will be, I'd like to pray for your families, for the children. I'd like to pray especially for the teenagers that are going through very difficult times. Very difficult times, that you as parents would help your teenagers to utilize these days to basically get closer to God. That's right, to get closer to God. That's the primary purpose of our life, is we really never go on vacation from God. I see vacation as changing gears. Maybe you're not spending all the time in school, but you're cultivating your mind, you're getting engaged in sports, maybe the daily mass, you're helping at home, you're working. We should never give in to laziness, because how true it is that idleness is the workshop of the devil. And my next intention will be in thanksgiving for Roe v. Wade that was overturned last week. Last week, which was the Most Sacred Heart of Jesus. That was the momentous moment in our country, which we want to be thankful to God that we're able to overcome this. I'd like to pray in a special way for many people who are Many people are just very angry at God. Very angry at God for many reasons. They're just very angry at God. So let's pray for these people who are just very angry at God, that God would bless them. And that God would open up the minds of these many people who accept and promote abortion. We have to do all we possibly can to defend life. Because from the very moment of conception till natural death, life is sacred. So my friends, as we enter into a new month, which is also the first Friday, let's talk a little bit about that. Then there's a lot to cover, because today we celebrate Saint Junipero Serra. We're still meditating upon the minor prophet Amos, the prophet of social justice. Then we're into Matthew chapter 9, in which we have actually the call of Saint Matthew. And the responsorial psalm is, one does not live on bread alone, but by every word that comes forth from the mouth of God. What Jesus actually said, responding to the devil. So there's a lot to cover in this smorgasbord, this spiritual buffet in which we want to really nourish ourselves in abundance. So I'd like to move into the tone of this month. As we spoke about during the course of June is a month of the Most Sacred Heart of Jesus. And last Friday we actually celebrated the foremost solemnity of the Most Sacred Heart of Jesus. In a certain sense, my friends, every day should be a day in which we honor the Sacred Heart of Jesus. And the reason being is because this Sacred Heart of Jesus is the most eloquent symbol of love that we have. That's right. Sacred Heart of Jesus is the most eloquent symbol of love that we have. So God always loves us, even when we fail Him. His love is eternal. But also the Sacred Heart of Jesus wants us to love Him in return. Jesus said to St. Margaret Mary Alacoque, "Behold the heart that loves so much and receives only coldness, indifference, and gratitude in return. Console my heart." So let's make a concerted effort to love the Sacred Heart of Jesus. Month of July, my friends, is a month in which we honor the most precious blood. The most precious blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's the day in which we honor the most precious blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. In time we'll talk about it. But the precious blood of Christ is, we contemplate it most vividly in His passion. His passion and death. And even after He dies, the soldier takes his sword or lance and pierces the heart of Christ, from which blood and water comes gushing forth. That's right. His heart is pierced with the lance from which blood and water comes gushing forth. However, this has to be said. Every time that a priest, a Catholic priest, celebrates the holy sacrifice of the Mass, all the fruits of Calvary are present. And when I lift up the host, I lift up the chalice, there is a great miracle. We have transubstantiation, in which the bread and wine are truly and substantially transformed into the body, blood, soul, and divinity of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's right. The bread and wine are transformed into the body, blood, soul, and divinity of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So those are two ways in which we can honor in a special way the precious blood of Christ. By meditating upon his passion and death, no greater love than to give one's life for his loved ones. And then the perpetual realization of the blood of Christ when the Catholic priest celebrates Mass. Don't forget, when you receive communion, you receive the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Christ. One drop of the blood of Christ would be enough to save the whole world. So let's be eternally grateful for this great gift. This great gift that God has given to us in his Son, and his passion, death, and resurrection. But the fact that he shed his blood for love of you and for love of me. So my friends, we're on the first day of July, and it's also the first Friday of the month. Jesus asked St. Margaret Mary Alacoque. In my studio here we have the portrait of Jesus, the Sacred Heart, appearing to St. Margaret Mary Alacoque in the convent of Paray-le-Monial in the 1600s. He said, "Behold the heart that loves so much, but is only received in gratitude in return. Console my heart." Console my heart. One of the things that Jesus asked of St. Margaret Mary Alacoque, as well as to us, is he asked for what is called the nine first Fridays of the month. By that is meant, Jesus asked that we go to Mass and go to communion and make a communion of reparation 9 first Fridays in a row. So make a good confession sometime within this week. And to make the nine first Fridays in offering that communion in reparation for the many sins of the world. There are so many. But I'd have to say that one of the sins would be that of abortion. As a result of Roe versus Wade, close to 63 million abortions were perpetrated. So offer your community reparation and prevention of future abortions. Another act of reparation should be to repair for the many Catholics in our country, Catholics throughout the world, who have willingly decided to give up the faith and no longer practice the faith and no longer go to Mass on Sundays. This is a sin that hurts the Lord so much. It's a sin of indifference. In the book of Revelation or Apocalypse points out that you're neither hot nor cold. I wish you were. You're neither hot nor cold. I wish you were, but you are lukewarm. Therefore, I will spit you out of my mouth. You're neither hot nor cold, but lukewarm. Therefore, I wish you were, but you're indifferent. You're mediocre. I spit you out of my mouth. So when you go to Mass today, hopefully you'll be able to go to Mass today, offer your communion reparation for the many sins of abortion, for the indifference toward the Mass and the Eucharist. And I would also say in reparation for children being scandalized by the new LGBT agenda that's being forced upon them. That's being forced upon them in the modern school system. So start today to make the 9 first Fridays. And Jesus promises special blessings, especially at the hour of your death, that you will not die in mortal sin and that you'll be able to receive the grace of receiving the last sacraments. So now I'd like to move into, we've got a lot to cover, my friends. And the saint that we celebrate today is a relatively modern saint, rather canonized recently. His name is Saint Junipero Serra. He's beatified by John Paul II in 1988, but he was actually canonized recently by Pope Francis in the year 2015. When Pope Francis was in the United States, he came to Washington, D.C. He actually canonized Saint Junipero Serra. And since 1921, there's been a statue of Junipero Serra in the Capitol. Symbolic of California. So we who live in California are in debt to Saint Junipero Serra. Of course, sad to say, over the past couple years, erroneous, liberal, violent ideologies have actually railed against Junipero Serra. This would be another act of reparation. Maybe you remember it was about 2.5 years ago. In the city of San Francisco, there was a majestic, beautiful statue of Junipero Serra in San Francisco. And some individuals took the statue and just basically destroyed the statue. Thanks be to God. The Archbishop of San Francisco's name is Salvatore Cordiglione. He intervened rapidly and he blessed the place where the statue was destroyed and he did a formal exorcism. No doubt that was a diabolical action. This is the same archbishop who has told Pelosi that she cannot receive Holy Communion. A very courageous archbishop. And the reason being is that she strongly promotes abortion. A public figure that promotes abortion, and Archbishop Cordiglione is simply applying Canon 915. So he's a very courageous archbishop. And I think we really have to applaud him on the hard work he's doing, going against modern culture and trying to live out the gospel and to give good example to Catholics in San Francisco as well as throughout the whole country. So who was this person? Who is this person? Junipero Serra. Well, many large cities in California have the name of a saint as a result of Junipero Serra. He was born in 1713 in the island of Mallorca in Spain. And he was the son of a farmer. When he was young, he really felt that he was called to become a Franciscan. First time he applied to become a Franciscan, however, he was turned down because he looked so weak and frail. But then when he was a little bit older at 17, he was accepted and he took the name Junipero. Some of you might find that name to be somewhat rare. But the one reason why is because Saint Francis chose 12 original disciples. And one of the disciples' name was Junipero. He was a very simple, childlike follower of St. Francis, Junipero. So Junipero Serra, he was ordained a priest, and he was gifted with a very keen intellect. That's right, he was gifted with a very keen intellect. So his superiors, and this is very important for all of us, you parents who have more than one child. It's very important that you recognize that all of your children are different. They're all different and they all have different gifts. It's incumbent upon you as parents to recognize the gifts that your children have as well as yourself and try to cultivate those gifts. That's right. So the superiors were aware of Unipara of having a very keen intellect. So he became a teacher of philosophy. He became a teacher of theology. As well as he became a popular preacher. We're talking about Spain now. He was born on an island called Mallorca. However, obedient as he was, and a great teacher, which was a charism that God gave to him, Unipara felt that within him he really wanted to be a missionary. A missionary in this sense, he wanted to bring the gospel teachings, to those people who had never heard of God and the kingdom that God had prepared for them. You might even say there's a certain parallel between Unipara Serra and St. Peter Chanel. There's a parallel there because St. Peter Chanel also taught in the seminary and he did parish work. But St. Peter Chanel, like Unipara Serra, he wanted to be a missionary. Peter Chanel will end up on the island of Futuna in the South Pacific, where the Word of God had never been preached. Unipara Serra is going to be ending up in California preaching the Word of God, where many people, especially Indians, had never heard the preaching of the Word of God. Then, in the year 1749, when he's about 36 years of age, Unipara Serra wrote a letter to his parents. And little did he know that he would never see his parents again. Then he gets on the ship in Spain. He sails all the way to Mexico with other Franciscans. The journey was a long journey. Was 98 days. And at the end they lacked fresh food and water. And of course their thirst would be excruciating. Now you've seen the lives of the saints, my friends, they're just a lot of trials. In the letter of St. James, chapter 1, he says, my friends, count it pure joy when you're assaulted with all types of tribulations and trials. Because trials, accepted with faith, they actually fortify us. They strengthen us. So when they're near Mexico, a storm drove the ship off course and almost ruined the ship. So he's almost shipwrecked and died before he even made it to Mexico. See how God allows all these trials. The other day we had the apostles in the ship, and there was a storm that descended upon the ship, and our Lord was asleep. And they woke him up and said, "Lord, we're perishing." Jesus calmed the storm. So after finally making it to Mexico, after a 98-day journey, make it to Mexico, Father Serra and another friar, so there's just two of them, they walk 300 miles from Veracruz all the way up to the city of Mexico. We complain when we're in our cars, when the air conditioning is not working, maybe we don't have our Coca-Cola to sip. We're kind of spoiled, we have to admit it. Kind of spoiled, we have to admit it. Now something happened. When Junipero Serra is walking toward the city of Mexico, that will mark the rest of his life. It was another suffering that God allowed. On his left leg, apparently Junipero Serra, he was bitten by a poisonous insect. And poisonous insect. Now today, we go to a doctor, we would take antibiotics, or maybe even have a minor operation to remove the venom or the poison of the insect bite, and it would probably be healed within a month or two. But we're talking about more than 300 years ago, where medicine, of course, was not advanced as it is today. So this mosquito bite, whatever it was, it caused him irritation and pain during the rest of his life. And he spent long hours walking on mission from one mission to the next. So you can imagine the suffering that he made. And he would always say, siempre adelante, nunca atrás. That's one of the most famous sayings of Junipero Serra. Siempre adelante, nunca atrás, which would be English for always ahead, and never turn behind. Always ahead, never turn back. So he and his companion, they arrive at the city of Mexico, and they go to the shrine or the Basilica of Our Lady Guadalupe. And Father Junipero Serra, he dedicates his work with the Indians to the Blessed Virgin Mary. He dedicates his work to the Indians, to the Blessed Virgin Mary, who would come in 1491 to Juan Diego and convert the Mexicans, the Aztec and Indians, by means of the greatest conversion in the history of the world. So rightfully so, Yunipa Serra goes to Our Lady of Guadalupe, and he's going to be moving out of the city of Mexico. He's going to be coming to the United States, to where we are, where I am right now, to Southern California. I love the lives of the saints, don't you? Don't you love the lives of the saints? So really what I think we can learn from Yunipa Serra is before we undertake our activities to ask the Blessed Mother to bless our activities. That's right. Ask the Blessed Mother to bless our activities. Maybe you know the psalm, give success to the work of our hands. Give success to the work of our hands. That's right. So, to be a missionary, there has to be a certain preparation. So, after a certain training period in missionary work, Father Serra went to work with the Tame Indians for eight years. Working with the group called the Pame Indians for 8 years. Then, Yunipa Serra, he became a traveling missionary. Don't forget, he's got this mosquito bite on his left knee, which is going to cause him suffering the rest of his life. So in the year 1767, this is right before the American Revolution, which will take place 9 years later. He was chosen to be, he was named as the president of the missions in Lower California. So he's going to be moving from Mexico to Lower California, the area of San Diego. So when the Spaniards took over Upper California in 1769, Yunipa went with them. He went with them. So at the age of 56, and with his leg and foot swollen, he traveled the 900 miles by muleback to San Diego, where he founded the territory's first mission of the 19 he planned. So San Diego would be the first of the missions that Yunipa Serra established. So Yunipa is going to establish 9 of the 21 Franciscan missions along the Pacific coast. So altogether there's 21, but he's going to establish 9 of them just by himself, with the help of others, of course, but he was a key figure. Now, what were these communities that he established? Well, basically, they were communities of Native Americans, where everything was held in common, like the original apostolic community. And then Yunipa Serra, he helped out in many ways. This is called the evangelization of culture. He did all he possibly can to help out these people in many ways. On a human level, work level, intellectual level, social level, but especially in the spiritual and the moral level, that was his mission as a priest and a Franciscan. But he taught them to grow crops and to raise livestock. He taught them how to read and to write, to sing and to paint. So we see on the human level, Yunipurasera was trying to help them to grow in many different ways, in culture, in their intellectual life, their work life, trying to raise a whole level of life. But most important, and that's why he's a Catholic priest and a Franciscan, most important, Yunipurasera, he taught them about their Catholic faith and asked them to become Catholics. Asked them to become Catholics. And he's going to end up by baptizing, they calculate, baptized about 6,000 Native Americans were baptized. That's a pretty big number. 6,000 were baptized. So he evangelized their culture, but especially he instilled in them the Christian Catholic faith. Now, he was made favorite. His favorite mission was San Carlos in Carmel. This is actually where his body's buried. So if you ever go up to San Carlos Carmel, then you might even visit the place where Yunipurasera is buried. This was basically his headquarters. He lived a very simple life. He just had a little room, one window, a wooden pallet for a bed, a chair, and a small table. That is where he was buried. Yunipurasera had a great love for the Indians. He was seen as their father, who loved them, protected them, provided for them, nourished them, especially spiritually, through the Word of God and through the sacraments. And often he would come into conflict with the authorities, because the authorities would sometimes mistreat the Indians, and Yunipurasera would always try to defend them. And what he did was he made a long trip back to the city of Mexico. He arrived close to his death because the traveling was so difficult with his leg. He's getting older. The purpose was in order to meet with the military commander and establish rules that protected the Indians and the missions. So he'd get certain rules to protect the Indians and the missions. Once when he was in San Diego, there was an Indian uprising that left a Franciscan and several others dead. Father Serra pleaded that the Indians held for the killings would be released. Here's a man who really loved his people. He loved his people very much. Now, when he was dying, when Yunipraser was dying, he could barely, he was so weak he could barely move. He insisted that he be taken to the chapel so that he could receive Holy Communion. And I think that's a message for us. That all of us, in honor of the Most Sacred Heart of Jesus, we should do all we possibly can for ourselves as well as for our loved ones, that we get to heaven. That's why we're here. We get to heaven, and that we receive, begging for the grace to receive the last sacraments, confession, the anointing of the sick, and Holy Communion. Last Communion is actually called Viaticum. So there's a priest named, his name is Father Palau, and some Indian converts were with Yunipraser when he died. So the Indians spent the night with him after he died, and at the funeral mass, the weeping of the congregation was so loud that it drowned out the singing. How much they really loved, how much they really loved their spiritual father Yunipraser. How much they loved him. How much good he did on a human level, but especially on a supernatural level. As mentioned earlier, Father Yunipraser's statue stands in the Hall of Fame in Washington, D.C., in the Capitol. When this tribute to the founders of the United States was planned, California nominated Father Serra. It's really beautiful. So Father Serra was nominated as the basically the model, the patron of California. There in the capital of the United States, Washington, D.C. In 1935, the Serra Club was founded to foster vocations and promote Catholicism. So remember that. Maybe you've heard of the Serra Club, Serra International. This was founded in 1935, and the purpose is to promote, my friends, promote vocations to religious life as well as to the priesthood. Indeed, my friends, the harvest is rich. Jesus says this. The harvest is rich, but the laborers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest to send more laborers to work in his vineyard. A United States airmail stamp issued in 1988 bears Father Serra's picture. Yeah, even there's a mountain in California. And the name of that mountain is Junipero Serra Peak. Maybe you've climbed that mountain. If not, that can be a missionary activity that you can carry out. So as mentioned earlier, in the year 1988, Pope John Paul II, one of the greatest missionaries in the history of the Catholic Church, beatified Junipero Serra. Then 7 years ago, just a short time ago, 7 years ago, you remember when Pope Francis came to visit the United States? One of the places that Pope Francis visited was Washington, D.C. It was Pope Francis that actually canonized no longer Blessed Junipero Serra, but Saint Junipero Serra. So, my friends, in a certain sense, for we who live in California, this is a feast day for us. Feast day for us. And the closest mission to where I am, it's about 20 minutes away in car, is the San Gabriel Mission. Then you have the mission also in Los Angeles. You've got the mission also in San Juan Capistrano. You've got the mission in San Diego. All as a result of one man. One man who loved God, and he showed that he loved God by loving his brothers and sisters, especially the Indians in California. So, my friends, let's pray that through the intercession of Saint Junipero Serra, we'll be able to put into practice his command. Siempre adelante. Siempre adelante. Siempre adelante. Siempre adelante e nunca tras. Let us always fix our gaze on our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and His Blessed Mother, Mary Most Holy. The Lord be with you. May Almighty God bless you in honor of Saint Junipero Serra, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.